We sat down with our favorite Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, EWTN's Rome Bureau Chief, for a look at the past week's events here in the Vatican and beyond. Come join us in studio. This week, of course, lots of big events here in the Vatican, namely Pope Benedict's 85th birthday.
Papal-oriented, indeed.
Exactly. And
the anniversary of his election.
The 7th anniversary of his election.
And then, of course, Tuesday the 24th is the anniversary, 7th anniversary of the day he began his pontificate. But if you go back to to Divine Mercy Sunday at the Regina Caeli, which, of course, substitutes during the Easter period, substitutes the Angelus prayer, tens of thousands of people in St. Peter's Square, as there usually are for Benedict. It's really amazing, even in bad weather. So he did in French, he said to the French pilgrims, next Thursday, on the occasion of the 7th anniversary of my election to the See of Peter, I ask for your prayers so that the Lord gives me the strength to fulfill the mission he entrusted to me. And he did say that several times during the week, which was very interesting. And then on his birthday itself, it was a day in which, according to his secretary, Monsignor Ganschwein, he had done an interview with the Italian weekly Gente, and he said that the Pope had said, now let's just have a family party. I don't want any big celebrations.
Yeah, keep it quiet.
Yes, yeah, keep it quiet. Yes. Well, you know, excuse me, you're the Holy Father, and I think this is one request that people were not going to fulfill. And actually, there was Mass with an enormously beautiful homily by the Holy Father in the Pauline Chapel on Monday morning, his birthday, and a number of members of the College of Cardinals and a whole slew of German bishops who were in town specifically for these festivities. And
I see you've got a copy of that homily here.
Yeah.
It really impressed you quite a lot. Well, what stood out for you?
He talked about something that I think we all knew anyway. We've all read it. He was born on Holy Saturday, April 16th, 1927. And it was a Holy Saturday. He was also baptized the same day. And he talked about the fact that his birth and his baptism were Holy Saturday. And he said it was still customary to hold the Easter Vigil in the morning, followed by the darkness of Easter Saturday without a hallelujah. And he said, this is so beautiful, this singular paradox, this anticipation of light in a day of darkness can almost be seen as an image of the history of our own times. On the one hand, there's the silence of God and his absence, yet the resurrection of Christ contains light and an anticipation of God's yes. He said, through the darkness, we can glimpse Christ's light thanks to the resurrection. And then the Holy Father said, I'm in the final stage of my life journey, and I don't know what awaits me. However, and I wish we could all think this, I do know the light of God exists, that he rose again, that his light is stronger than all darkness, and that the goodness of God is stronger than all the evil in the world. And the Pope said, this helps me continue with confidence. This helps us to continue. And he said, I want to thank everyone who, through their faith, continually makes me aware of God's yes. And I just kind of sat back at my desk when I read those very beautiful words. And when he speaks from the heart, because with Benedict we have heart and mind that very often speak together, but when he speaks from the heart, it is just so utterly beautiful. And so we had this wonderful Mass, and then later in the morning, a lot of well-wishers came to greet the Holy Father for his birthday, and then I think it was around noon in the Sala Clementina, a whole German contingent from his native Bavaria, and dancers, and I saw some little videos of the one of those thigh-slapping German polka-type,
polka dances.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly. And so he seemed to have had
And then, of course, the concert as well in his honor.
The concert in his honor on Friday.
Friday.
So a whole bunch of events, as there are annually and as there should be. For you and me, too. You know, when you think, maybe not a concert. I don't expect a concert on my birthday, but, well, you know, a little dancing and probably a good meal or two would be wonderful.
But for us, it was a work day, a normal work day.
Sure, sure. But the anniversary of the pontificate is a holiday in the Vatican.
That was
the anniversary of the election, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pope's name day is a holiday in the Vatican. I used to enjoy that. And not to overlook other events. events. We'll mention them quickly, but I do kind of want to highlight what Father Lombardi, who, of course, heads Vatican Radio TV and in the press office, what he said about the Pope's anniversary, about these 7 years. He offered an editorial to Vatican Radio.
Kind of summing up his accomplishments.
His accomplishments, really, right. And it was about his 85th birthday and as well as, but more about his pontificate. You know, he said, he began by saying many wondered if the age that he was, because he had just turned 78, that Pope Benedict, you know, would his pontificate be marked by, as John Paul's was, by infirmity, old age, and so forth. And, of course, we that question has been answered for us. No, it has not been marked, and that's obviously also what we pray for. But Father Lombardi said, and I hadn't seen thought of it summed up this way, in 7 years we've had 23 international trips to 23 countries and 26 trips within Italy, 4 synods of bishops, 3 World Youth Days, 3 encyclicals, countless, obviously, other homilies, addresses, and magisterial acts. He said, we've participated in a Pauline year, a year for priests. And he said, we even saw the Pope face with courage, humility, and determination, that is to say, with a clear evangelical spirit, difficult situations like the crisis of the sexual abuse. Father outlined the fact that, of course, his amazing work, the Pope's amazing work, Jesus of Nazareth, the book-length interview, Light of the World. And Father Lombardi said, above all, we've learned from the coherence and consistency of his teaching that the priority of his service to the church and humanity is to guide lives to God, the God who was made known by Jesus Christ, whom the Pope obviously dearly loves and writes so often about. And the Pope also teaches us that faith and reason can help each other in seeking the truth and respond to the expectations and demands of each one of us and then mankind as a whole, and that marginalizing God and relativism, both of those things, are two serious dangers of our time. And then he ended his editorial with, Father Lombardi, we are immensely grateful for all of this. And we are still journeying with him towards the World Meeting of Families, which, of course, is May and early June in Milan, and the trip to the Middle East in September. We know he's going to Lebanon.
Are you going on that
trip? And then I'm going to go some one way or the other. If I'm on the papal plane or on the plane that leaves after his, I'm going to be in Lebanon.
Should be going there, too, with him.
Yeah. Oh, I love the country. My one and only visit there was very enlightening. And it's a cultural crossroads that defy description at times almost. So,
and right now, this week, in fact, going on in Lebanon is the communications conference for the bishops of the Middle East,
exactly,
which is being organized by the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.
Exactly. There's 80 participants, and they represent all the cultures, the languages, and the rites of the Middle East. So you have, I think it's 40 bishops and 30 priests and 10 lay people all involved in communications, looking towards the new communications and evangelization, which obviously is the topic of this coming October's synod and it's high on the list of the Pope's priorities. We've heard a lot about evangelization in recent years, and now that the focus of the entire church in the entire world is going to be evangelization. So it'll be interesting to talk to some of them and find out what they're taking back, the bishops of the Middle East, what they're taking back to their respective churches, you know. So
also around this past week here in Rome, we've seen a couple of other conferences. There was a conference on Constantine.
That I've been fascinated by Constantine ever since I knew that in 312 he had a dream. He saw the cross. He was about to fight a battle.
And this is the Roman
emperor. And
in
this dream, a Roman emperor from 312 to I think it was 337. And his mother, St. Helena, maybe more people know St. Helena for having, you know, found the true cross and other things. As a matter of fact, this weekend will be about to leave, as we speak, actually, for Germany, where I will be in Trier seeing the Holy Robe of Jesus, which is the seamless vestment that Jesus wore before his crucifixion and found by St. Helena, the mother of Constantine. But the conference, the 3 or 4 day conference on Constantine, is really, really fascinating. And you look at him, the first Christian emperor. He made it possible to be a Christian without being persecuted and killed, and a lot is owed to him. And actually, There's the Rome conference underway as we speak, and then there will be a conference in Milan in 2013 for the 700th anniversary of the promulgation of the Edict of Milan, of course, by Constantine in 313, which established freedom of religion in the Roman Empire. But I've just been fascinated by him as an emperor, what he did, what his mother did. I mean, she was 80 when an awful lot of people didn't live to be 80 in those years. She was 80 years old when she went to the Holy Land. And just had this mission. And, of course, there's the Church of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem in Rome, which has some of the passion relics that she brought back. Her story is as interesting, really, as her son's, if you probe it, you know, in depth.
Were you able to go to that conference here in Rome?
No. Because of other commitments, I was unable to go to that. But I have been following, you know, a lot of the speeches and everything else. And maybe I can go to Milan next year.
Okay. Well, let's hope we can do that. So then, of course, another thing that we saw coming out of the Vatican this week is concerned the Lefebvre Group.
Right. Known as the SSPX, which stands for the Society of St. Pius X. Now, this is a group that's been broke away from the church. They were formed in 1969 by Archbishop Lefebvre, ultra traditionalist, and he and his followers were just unwilling to accept certain things in the magisterium, changes in the that came after Vatican Council II in the liturgy and other things, relations with Jews. There were so many things that were very troubling. And when Lefebvre ordained four bishops in 1988, he and the bishops, because they did not have a papal mandate, were excommunicated. They weren't excommunicated by the Vatican. You have to know law well enough. They excommunicated themselves by doing it. If you go through a red light in your car, you know you're going to get a ticket. So this is basically what happened. Now, there's been dialogue for years. There's the Ecclesia Dei, the Church of God, the Ecclesia Dei Commission in the Vatican that has worked so hard to bring them back into the fold. We know how important Christian unity is for this Holy Father, and certainly was for John Paul. And so there have been various meetings between Cardinal Levada here, Doctrine of the Faith, Bishop Bernard Fillet of the SSPX, and the Vatican has basically laid down certain mandate. You must accept this. They had a document called the Preamble. That's fairly recent. That was given to them. You must accept these conditions, and this all has to be signed and so forth. And then they came back not accepting all of the conditions. There were further problems. Well, now it seems that the SSPX people have moved a little closer and have sent a response to the Vatican that sounds, from what Father Lombardi and others have said, like it's a little bit closer. It's encouraging, I think, is the word Father mm-hmm. Lombardi used in describing the latest response, which just came Tuesday of this week. Mm-hmm. So we'll wait for news. The Holy Father's going to look at this. That's what Father Lombardi said in his statement. The Holy Father will look at this. Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, CDF, of course, will. So this is a story.
Developing story.
Exactly.
Of course,
and there'll be other chapters
as the weeks come up.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Joan. We've run out of time. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And a warm thanks there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Rome Bureau Chief.